Coming up on January's episode of The Candid Connection, Andrew and Ashley take a step back and look at 2021, kind of review a couple of things, but also look ahead at 2022. And so we're going to be talking about our agenda items and what we'll be working on and issues we'll be advocating for here in 2022. We're also excited this month. We're starting a new segment in our show called the McLaren Carmanos Moment. And so our first moment, we welcome Shoma Paul and Brittany Dow, and they're from the Center for Health Equity and Community Engagement at Carmanos Cancer Institute. So they're going to share with us some of the programs they're working on, what their office is all about, and how they're engaging those in their communities to fight cancer. I'm Andrew Shepherds, along with Ashley Hall. This is the Candid Connection for January 2022, brought to you by Carmanos Cancer Institute and McLaren Healthcare, the state's largest provider of cancer care and research in the state. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
2022. We have officially made it. All twos, no ones. We're moving on to 2022. And, you know, I just think that 2022 is going to be a heck of a lot better than 2021. I don't know about you, Ashley, but that's what I think.
I am certainly hoping that 2022 is the year that we get to this new normal.
Yeah, that's right. I really think we're going to get into a new normal. And there's a part of me that wishes I would have invested in 3M or created my own mask company at this point, because I feel like those guys are going to be gangbusters.
Yep.
Coming up. But, you know, again, I digress. My own personal feelings, not endorsed by the American Cancer Society. Or ACS can.
It's an important disclaimer.
Yes, important disclaimer. Do you have any resolutions? Are you looking forward to anything in 2022?
You know, yes, I do. I'm focusing on values in 2022, and the value that I'm holding close this year is consistency.
So okay.
I'm trying to maintain consistency through my work life and my personal life.
Very cool. Well, I like that. And I think that that's a really good thing to focus on. I mean, being consistent in ensuring that you give yourself that space in your personal life and in your work life, I think is super important, right? Because it's, I don't know about you, but I look around and I have dinner in the other room usually, and I usually go to bed in another room upstairs. So like, being at home, I think it's even more important to ensure that you have that kind of work-life balance.
Absolutely. There. I find myself asking, do I live at work or do I work from home?
Yeah. I think work from home is definitely a lot better.
Hopefully that's what I can pull off this year.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm hopeful for? Oral chemo fairness. That's right. That's right. We are in 2022. And, you know, I think most of you know that our agendas here and how we work at ACS CAN is really, we do it year by year. Michigan is a little different where, you know, we're a 2-year full-time legislature. And so, you know, our agendas are really more of a 2-year look in terms of things we're going to work on and issues, you know, issues that we have. And so, we're really kind of excited for a 2022 agenda, aren't we, Ashley?
there's some things that have been in the woodwork for a long time that we're hoping to see come to fruition.
Oh my gosh, talk about long time. I think oral chemo fairness is now one of those giant redwoods in California. It's been so long. And really let's kick off our discussion there on our agenda and on our state issues. And so, you know, we're really excited about continuing our work in oral chemo fairness. And as all of you know, this has now been a 16-year endeavor for us now, as we've been attempting to try to get this into statute. 43 other states have had success, and Michigan is the only state in the Midwest that hasn't implemented this policy. And so, you know, we find ourselves at a crossroads now where, for the first time ever, our legislation has made it over to the Senate from the House. And now we're just kind of waiting. And so, but I think all of you really know what this issue is, but I'll just kind of, you know, I'll give you a real quick synopsis, in that essentially what it does is that it either caps the cost for an oral chemotherapy drug or an oral anti-cancer drug at $150, or it says it has to be at parity in terms of what its IV equivalent would be. And so normally when you're looking at a situation if somebody goes through for IV treatment, they're looking at probably a $75 to $100 out of pocket that they have to do for going into that infusion center or that hospital. When folks are getting these oral drugs, and when we talk about folks, we really need to concentrate on who we're talking about, right? So we're not talking about those on Medicaid. We're not talking about those super huge employers like the state of Michigan, GM, Chrysler, Ford, you know, any of those real big businesses that are self-insuring their folks. But we're talking about really the mom and pops, right? We're talking about, you know, those folks that are buying health insurance for their workers, or maybe buying insurance themselves. And so if they were to go into the pharmacy and they were to get an oral chemo drug, they could be facing a bill or a copay of $30, $20, something pretty normal. But they could also pay, you know, be facing a copay of $1,000, $2,500, and even higher from there. And so with that, we know that when patients walk to that counter and the pharmacist says, well, it's $2,545.85, they go, well, let me go grab my penny bank. And, you know, they don't have that ability to pay that bill right there because they just don't know what's coming. They think they have health insurance. They have prescription insurance. That will take care of it. I know it will. And at the end of the day, it doesn't. And so what this legislation would do would essentially, as I talked about before, either be $150 per fill or looking at something that's equal to what the IV equivalent would be. And with that, it's going to provide a lot of security, financial planning, and true access to these drugs, right? And Ashley, I know folks say, well, insurers will say, well, you know, we cover this already. And you can say, well, that's great. But if it's $2,500, you know, what has that coverage really got me?
Exactly. And, you know, access to care for cancer patients gives them a little certainty in a really uncertain time in their life. And it's so valuable and so important. And I'm very hopeful that this is the time. It's in the Senate. I know it's moving through a committee. Yeah. I'm excited and hopeful.
You know, I am too. And you know, I'm just going to add one more layer onto this. All right. Just if there wasn't enough layers, right? Let's talk about a pandemic. And so for those who are facing cancer, you know, having to go in to get their treatment because they can't afford to get the oral treatment where they could be at home in the safety of their own home to, you know, fight their cancer. Like, it's just another great reason of why, when the 43 states that have done this, no businesses have gone out because, you know, this, you know, because this went into effect. No health plans folded because this went into effect. And actually, when those states did their work and they went in and looked at what the impact was on the premium dollar, you know, Kentucky really had the highest. And it was pretty much a cup of coffee from Big B or Starbucks. Yeah. And so it was funny, a couple of years ago, we did a campaign called Coffee or Chemo, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, could you forego one cup of coffee a month to go ahead and be able to afford access to oral chemo that month? And so I think it's just critical that we find a way to get this done this year for folks. And so we can, you know, stop the 16-year wait for patients to really have protection to get access to their treatments.
Yeah, it's important. And, you know, I don't like hearing that Michigan is number 43 in anything. So yeah. I think it's about time that Michigan stood up and, you know, stood up for cancer patients.
Yeah, no, it is about time. And so we're hoping, you know, as we kind of move our way through the Senate process, that we'll see some action within the first half of the year here in Michigan around oral chemo. So that's our real big policy issue. Let's kind of shift here to appropriations. And I know, you know, it's funny, Ashley, you talked about, I don't like being 43. Well, let's talk about the number 46. And in a recent study that came out from the Coalition for Tobacco-Free Kids, they stated that Michigan was 46th in terms of funding for tobacco prevention in their state. 46. Okay, so let's say if you throw in Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C., it's out of 52. There are six other places that have it worse than we do. Right. And so it's time to do some work around that. And it's really time to take it serious. And so we're actually looking to take a big bite out of that this time around, aren't we, Ashley?
We definitely are trying to increase the amount of money that the state of Michigan spends on tobacco prevention is a huge priority for 2022.
It is. And so we're going to be asking for an additional $10 million to go ahead and bolster our prevention efforts here. And so what does that mean? Well, that means programs all the way across the board, from ensuring that the quit line continues to stay open to focusing on communities that are generally more targeted for tobacco use than other communities, and making sure our education is up to date. So, you know, it's funny, when we talked about prevention efforts back when I was in school in the 80s and into the 90s a little bit, right? We talked about how smoking was so bad.
Yeah.
And so now when you look at it, the numbers of high schoolers smoking that came out of this report from the Coalition for Tobacco-Free Kids was low. I mean, we're talking under 10%, but now they've shifted into using e-cigarettes. And so when over 20% of high schoolers came back and said, well, yeah, I've tried or used an e-cigarette, you know, that's an issue. And so our education and our prevention efforts around that have really lagged. And now we kind of find ourselves behind the eight ball in terms of being able to find some type of prevention efforts, you know, to make sure our kids aren't using these dangerous tobacco products. So that's coming up here. I would look for that, but we have one more appropriations ask coming out, and that's an additional $2.8 million to go into our breast and cervical cancer navigation program. And so what essentially that does is that it provides, you know, covers costs of screening and treatment and kind of navigation through the process for those to, you know, essentially, you know, get those mammograms and those pap smears and those who really need it. Right. And so this additional funding would allow allow the opportunity for those programs to reach out in communities where they haven't been able to before. And so we're really excited about this opportunity to, you know, increase those screening rates and hopefully ensure that we can have some healthier people at the end of the day.
Absolutely. And I know we have some great volunteers who have actually benefited from this program here in Michigan. And, you know, increasing the amount of money we spend here would help us reduce those disparities that we see in breast cancer and cervical cancer amongst different female populations and some male populations as well. So it's really important. And I'm excited to do the work with you this year, Andrew.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited to do it with you too. So, but folks, I can tell you a great place to go to find out more information about what we're working on or what we're doing. Head to our website. It's easy. Fightcancer.org/MI. It's got all of our information on there. It's got our agenda. It's got our contact information. It's got any action alerts that Ashley and I are putting together. So go check it out. Fightcancer.org/MI to find out what's going on here in Michigan. And so now we kind of talk about, as we shift away, you know, I will talk about, you know, on the federal level, right, not a lot happening there, but something we continue to watch. But we've got a lot of stuff going on at grassroots right now, Ashley, don't we, in terms of trying to get our folks excited and engaged for 2022.
Absolutely. We have a full calendar this year. You know, I started last August, and that's kind of when all the events were happening, the later in the year events were happening. And this January has been so busy. It's been really exciting to kind of dig in and create some of these opportunities for our volunteers. So we have a lot of trainings coming up. So on a really micro level, we have a great committee that's doing really good work with our new volunteers, you know, trying to onboard new volunteers so that they are, you know, really brought up to date with the way things work here in Michigan. We just had a great training this past weekend that, you know, I'm just really proud of the work they're doing. So I just want to shout out our Strong Start Committee.
Hey, Strong Start Committee.
Yes, they're really passionate about the work, and they're really bringing in some awesome new diverse volunteers into our volunteer ranks, which is really important.
Very cool.
Second, we have a big regional training coming up Saturday, January 29th. I've been working with the teams in Ohio and Indiana.
Okay.
So kind of bringing together the Midwest Ambassador crew.
Nice.
To hear from our federal policy team about what our policy priorities are going to be in 2022. You know, hear from our DEI staff about, you know, what is the work ACS Can is doing in DEI, and, you know, what opportunities exist for our state groups to really dig in and do some important diversity, equity, and inclusion work. And we're going to do some fun state breakouts where we can go over, you know, different fundraising ideas, different fundraising goals. And, you know, if you are interested in any of these, you can head to our website, fightcancer.org/MI. All of the signup information is on the website. Yeah, look, it's streaming down below. Look at that.
Scrolling right on the bottom. Your CNN scroller right there for you.
Yes.
Yeah, head to fightcancer.org.
You know what, Andrew? I saved the best for last.
Okay.
We have decided finally on a date for our 2022 Cancer Action Day.
Yeah. Hey.
This is a big deal. I'm very excited about it. Andrew, I know you've done more Cancer Action Days than I have, but this year we're going to be bringing our volunteers to Lansing, hopefully.
What?
Yes,
at the front door.
On Thursday, April 28th, we're going to be doing an in-person Cancer Action Day where we are talking to our legislators, you know, making those important asks, those important appropriations asks that Andrew was just talking about. So, you know, obviously this COVID situation is developing, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I know Andrew and I are both being really cautious and cognizant of the very, very valid concerns that cancer survivors have when it comes to COVID. So in person, we're looking at virtual options as well. We want an opportunity to bring our volunteers together because they haven't been together in 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. And you know, we're really excited about this. I think this is a way that we can now bring what we do to more people. Yeah. And so, yes, I mean, there will be virtual components to our Cancer Action Day, but, you know, knocking on wood, everything is going to be safe and we're going to get things turned around here. You know, we would love to have you join us in Lansing. But overall, we would just love to have you join us. So whether it's from the comfort of your own couch or in the Mackinac room in the house office building, you know, we would love to see you there. So what's that date again, April?
That is Thursday, April 28th.
April 28th. All right. And has the registration gone out yet?
It has. Guess where you can find it?
Where can you find it?
On fightcancer.org/MI. It is right up top there. Just go ahead and click register for Cancer Action Day.
Nice. There it is, scrolling down on the bottom, fightcancer.org/MI, to go ahead and find information about Cancer Action Day. Well, man, that is a lot for 2022. Super excited about all this stuff coming up in the first half of the year. But you know, we're also excited for kind of some new things changing here with the show a little bit. New year, really looking to kind of grow our content a little bit. And so with that, you know, I think all of you've known over the past 10 months, we've had a great relationship with McLaren Healthcare and Karmanos Cancer Institute, as you see their logo here down on the bottom of the screen. And so, you know, we've really carved out some time for them to talk about some great issues in terms of what they're working on. And so we're calling that our Karmanos McLaren moment. And where we're welcoming guests to come on like we have been for a little bit here at the end of 2021, but really trying to formalize it this time now. So you know, we can really hear from them. And so this time, our inaugural moment is from the Office of Health Equity and Community Engagement. And so a couple great folks from that office coming on, Brittany Dow and Shoma Paul. Both heavily engaged in the activities within those, you know, within those areas. So join us here after the break as we have our first Karmanos McLaren moment.
At Karmanos, we specialize in providing cancer care that you can't get anywhere else. Because we're home to one of the largest clinical trials programs in the country, only Karmanos can give you access to more than 250 of the most innovative and promising cancer treatments available. And with locations across Michigan and virtual visits, we offer easy and safe access to the expertise and guidance of your cancer team. We do all of this for one reason, to give you your best chance.
Well, with it being January, we're starting things new here at The Connection, and we're really excited about this next segment in our show. I think most of you know that Karmanos and McLaren Healthcare have been great partners for us. And so now we're taking some time here to carve out to talk about a lot of the great things that are going on at McLaren and in Karmanos. And so we're calling it our Karmanos McLaren moment. And so we take some time to meet some of the folks doing the great work over at Karmanos and McLaren and helping their communities and helping patients in terms of facing cancer and facing all the other health needs that may come up during their cancer journey. And so we're starting January, which I feel is extremely appropriate. We're going to sit down and talk to two folks that are working in the Office of Cancer Health Equity and Community Engagement. And I know that if you've watched some of the show here in the past, you know that health equity and working on diversity and inclusion has really been a big part of what the American Cancer Society has been focusing on, and being able to do more in that space as we look at trying to provide access to healthcare, trying to limit tobacco use and whatnot around our state. We want to ensure that we're inclusive and we think about all communities. And so Karmanos and McLaren are definitely in that same boat. And so joining us today are Brittany Dow and Shoma Paul from the Office of Cancer Health Equity and Community Engagement. Thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule today.
Nice to be here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. So, you know, we talk about this. When I was talking to Dr. Heath and folks over at Carmanos, they mentioned this, the Center for Health Equity and Community Engagement. You know, I do that in my role as a lobbyist, spend a lot of time working in our communities along with our folks at ACS. But, you know, what really is this office at Carmanos, and what is your kind of mission, main objectives, and really how did this all get started?
Yeah, so thank you once again, Andrew, for having us. Shoma and I are really excited to be here. The Office of Cancer Health Equity and Community Engagement, or OCHE as we like to call it, was established in 2017, and we're under the direction of our faculty supervisor, Dr. Haley S. Thompson, who is the Associate Center Director for Community Outreach and Engagement at Carmanos, as well as a professor in the Department of Oncology of Wayne State University School of Medicine. The National Cancer Institute, or the NCI, put forth a requirement that all comprehensive cancer centers needed to have a division for community outreach and engagement. And at Carmanos, community outreach and engagement is implemented through OCHE. And really our main mission, our main goal is to monitor the cancer burden throughout Carmanos' catchment area. And this is guided by a cancer surveillance strategy as well as a participatory research approach.
Wow, that sounds awesome. Sounds like a lot. Shoma, it sounds like you've probably got some major programs happening there in your office. What are some of those programs you have to essentially kind of, you know, work towards that mission?
Well, we're working on three National Cancer Institute funded programs. But I think before I delve into it, I'd like Brittany to talk about the basis behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we like to think of our work in both a grassroots as well as a grasstops framework. So I'll take a little bit of time to talk about the grassroots approach, and then Shoma will lead us into our grasstops approach. Awesome. In terms of grassroots, we do have a program called Michigan Cancer Health Link, which is a community academic partnership created to increase research capacity in diverse communities. HealthLink's model for community engagement is set forth by a network of Cancer Action Councils, or CACs. We're really big on our acronyms in our office. And CRCs are made up of cancer survivors, caregivers, as well as advocates who develop research priorities and research questions that are relevant to their communities. And then they translate those questions and priorities into research studies and outreach projects. Currently, we do have 11 Cancer Action Councils and over 100 members, and this year is really special. Two of our Cancer Action Councils are celebrating 5 years. That's Connor Creek, which is located on the east side of Detroit, and our Western Wayne / Inkster Council.
Awesome. So Shoma, Brittany talked about grasstops and really getting them engaged. You know, what does that look like for your office, and kind of what programs are associated with your folks in grasstops?
Sure. So we have something what we call the Research Advocacy Consortium. And as Brittany said, we love our acronyms. So we call it the RAC.
Okay.
And it's a growing collaborative of various community-based organizations. So they are as diverse as the communities that they serve. So they're comprised of federally qualified healthcare clinics, health departments, health and human service organizations, as well as faith-based organizations. And we also focus on our more harder-to-reach communities. So they represent our priority populations, which are the Black community, Arab American, LGBTQ, rural community members, Latinx population, as well as we've really taken upon ourselves as an institution this year to gain cultural humility and cultural competency around the Indigenous population. So it is our hope that within the next couple of years, we can start to engage our tribal members and better understand and address their cancer health challenges. And with that, the function of the RAC, as we like to call it, is to advance cancer-related policy and to make people aware of the issues with our partners, such as the American Cancer Society, so that they can better advocate on behalf of their clients. We also like to disseminate and promote evidence-based strategies around the cancer continuum. And we have so much research going on at Carmanos Cancer Institute. And so we're trying to really link or disseminate the research discoveries at Carmanos Cancer Institute. For example, a couple months ago, we featured Dr. Heather Gibson, who's a scientist there, as well as one of our CAC members and one of our RAC members to co-moderate a session on immunotherapy. So we know that immunotherapy is really hot right now. It's providing a lot of promise and hope for the future in comparison to conventional like chemotherapy and radiation. And so she was able to talk about, you know, how does it work? What are the side effects? Who benefits? What are some of those outcomes? So that was met with a lot of interest and really great feedback. I would also say with so many partners around the table, something that's been beneficial is just making those linkages. So a lot of our community members are dealing with social determinants of care, you know, financial toxicity, how do you pay for groceries? And so we have members around the table, for example, like Gilda's Club, there's a need for support groups, but with COVID comes opportunity as well. And so the support groups that were face-to-face are now more widely available throughout the state. We have organizations that are providing stipends around you know, groceries or transportation. But more importantly, I will say for us, the RAC helps us to fuel research studies. And so in our business, we talk about the voice of the customer. So why not engage the community member to better understand and meet their needs in cancer? So when we engage our cancer partners in research, they're involved in all parts of the research study, from study design to how question is asked, what is asked. They help us interpret the data results, and we also give them their own data set that they can use towards programming and policy and also future grant applications.
Wow, that's great. That's great. And it's great to hear that you're bringing folks together. I know that, you know, that's one of our main goals here at ACS, is working to bring folks together to, you know, essentially push our mission forward. But, you know, those programs you talked about, it sounds like you've got some great successes within the RAC. And so, you know, what would you kind of point at as probably your greatest success so far with RAC?
Two come to top of mind. One is just adding new members. So we've had about 95% retention rate. And just a couple of years ago, we had just under 30 RAC members. Now we have 50. So I think that demonstrates the value that the RAC provides.
Yeah.
And secondly, as I mentioned, we engage our RAC partners when we can in research. And so we've been able to compensate our RAC partners with grant dollars. And we've been able to, the last year and a half, give several of our, probably about 15 of our members in total, more than $70,000 in grant funding.
Wow.
To increase their capacity. So we're really proud of that.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's great. I know, you know, thinking about doing the advocacy work and whatnot, we appreciate all the work that you're doing, because that does help us when we're in the trenches working with lawmakers trying to make those policy changes and kind of getting their hands dirty in that. Having groups like yours engaged and involved in a lot of that community work really helps, at least for me, and I know my counterparts have a better understanding of what the need really is and how we really need to move and address things forward. So, well, you know, Brittany Shoma, all this sounds like great stuff, but I know that I know you must have a ton of other stuff happening too. And so, you know, Brittany, I'll send this one to you, and Shoma, feel free to hop in. But I know you've probably got some other programs going on, and I've got a feeling ACS maybe funds maybe one or two or a little bit of your work. So, you know, what are some of the other things that the office is really working on or maybe focusing on or prioritizing for 2022?
Yes, thank you. We do have two active research projects that I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about. Both of these are funded by the National Cancer Institute's National Outreach Network. And the National Outreach Network, or NON, aims to strengthen NCI's ability to develop and disseminate culturally appropriate evidence-based cancer information that's tailored to the specific needs and expectations of those underserved communities. So from this funding, we did develop Project ACE, HPV. ACE stands for Advocates for Cancer Education, as well as Project FACTS, which stands for Facts About Cancer Clinical Trials. And these are both video-based interventions. Okay. And for those video-based interventions, we did take those basic NCI materials, those basic NCI educational materials, and adapt them into videos that would really be culturally competent and culturally fit for the African-American population in Southeast Detroit, South Metropolitan Detroit specifically. And then just to give a little bit more background, ACE aims to increase parental knowledge and interest in HPV vaccination for their age-eligible adolescents, while FACS aims to increase knowledge and awareness of cancer clinical trials. And we're planning to make this education available not only to KCI patients, survivors, and caregivers, but also the general community as well. We really want to stress the importance of clinical trials, diversity in clinical trials, and why we need diverse representation in cancer clinical trials. So I'll turn it over to Shoma, who will talk a little bit more about ACE and some of our other programming.
Very cool.
Yeah, I'd like to highlight a little bit more about what we did with Project ACE is, you know, again, turning to the community to inform us in the process. So we have with HPV education, you know, 80% of all of us, like 80% of us are going to get HPV at some point in our life. And it's linked to six types of cancers, HPV related cancers that can be preventable with a vaccine. And so why are we still at less than 50% vaccination rates at the state? So there's a huge opportunity to make sure that the next generation doesn't have to suffer from these types of cancers. Yeah, so what we did is we partnered with three of our RAC members. One is Western Wayne Family Health Involved Dads and also Detroit Parent Network. And we sat down with them and we showed them the materials and said, you know, how can we make this culturally tailored? So we featured we turned this into a video that was a little bit more engaging, and we featured graphics and B-roll that reflected community members that look like them. We have the information verbally being delivered and communicated by credible source like Dr. Radhika Gogoi, who's a gynecology oncologist at KCI, and the pediatrician Dr. Heckman from Western Wayne Family Health. He talks about a lot of the misconceptions and misinformation around the vaccine and common concerns about the side effects and what is it and how does HPV cause cancer. And then he also talks about the vaccine and who's recommended to get it, but it doesn't just stop there. Then we partner with Detroit Parent Network, who is receiving money from the grant to then provide navigation services. So now I'm a parent, I'm convinced I need the vaccine for my child, but I don't know where to get it. Detroit Parent Network will help out in terms of helping individuals link up to an appropriate resource to get the vaccine. And this has been met with a lot of excitement. We're also working with Dr. Rachel Mahas, who's a director of the public health program at Wayne State University, and her public health graduate and undergraduate students to talk with them and have them develop a program that likewise is evidence-based and is using the information provided us from the National Cancer Institute to adapt it to the college-age students and young adult population, as well as we've had a chance to share this with our CAC members, Arab American Cancer Action Council, and they have a lot of thoughtful ideas and feedback, and they really want to have this available for their population, for the Middle Eastern population. We've also had a request to have this tailored to the Latinx population, especially from a school in Southwest Detroit. And then we are also working to do a literature review right now and text messaging with health communications so that we can further reinforce the message and the long-term strategy around HPV vaccination and influence people's knowledge, attitudes, behaviors, and intent to vaccinate. And then in year two, next year or later this year, we hope to work with our RAC partners to form a statewide HPV coalition to further disseminate this education, especially to our rural communities. So that's exciting. And we have just one more project that I'd like to briefly touch upon. It's another grant from the National Cancer Institute. And, you know, budget cuts have taken place everywhere. And so with the Michigan Cancer Consortium, we're partnering with them, and they used to lead and staff all the work groups. And so we are partnering with them to co-chair one of the work groups and lead a work group around cancer survivorship. And what that is is to increase the number of cancer survivors who meet the physical activity and muscle strengthening activities. And we hope to accomplish this by developing a CME continuing medical education program geared towards oncologists and other health providers to help educate them and update them on the recent guidelines or the guidelines around cancer survivors and physical activity. And also this will be co-chaired by Dr. Bibi Dimmer at Carmel's Cancer Institute. And we're going to implement her high intensity interval training. I always forget that acronym, called CAPABLE. And that's going to be implemented in an urban setting targeting African-Americans as well as a rural site knowing that, you know, as Brittany said, we use our catchment area data to guide our efforts, that rural community members and Black community members are residents are more likely to be overweight and have obesity, and also their disparities in cancer are a lot more pronounced. So,
that's very exciting. And I can tell you, as a new board member for the MCC, I'm really excited to see where this survivorship work goes, and definitely being engaged in that. And so, you know, and so it sounds like you guys have a lot of great programs and things going on, but also an opportunity to have a lot of great resources for folks in the community. And so, I guess, you know, my last question here is, and probably that obvious question, and I'll throw it to you, Brittany, but, you know, where can people go to find more information?
Yes. If you'd like to learn more information about our Office of Cancer Health Equity and Community Engagement, you can visit our website. It's www.carmanis.org/carmanis/office-of-community. So on our website, you can learn more about our Cancer Action Councils, Michigan Cancer Health Link, the Research and Advocacy Consortium, and all of our active research projects, as well as previous research projects. So yes, very excited about our website.
Very cool. Yeah. So again, that's carmanis.org/of-the-community.
Office-of-community.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here, Brittany. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Well, Brittany Shulma, thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy schedule today to come in and chat about your great work. You know, again, head to carmanis.org/carmanis/office-the-community. Of the community to go ahead and find their resources. We'll have it on our page as well, so you can find that information in the show notes. But Brittany Shulma, thank you so much for joining me today. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
Well, that was a wonderful moment. A ton of great information that came from Brittany and Shulma. I know that, you know, them bringing together all those different communities and all those different folks from the community, I know is definitely going to make a huge impact in Detroit, if not, you know, outside and statewide.
Absolutely. It's important work.
It is. It really is. And so, well, that, you know, that wraps up our show this month for January. Again, we're sorry we're coming to you a little late, but we'll be on time next month. But not a lot of activity going on. I know when we look at issues for next month, though, one of the big things coming is the governor's State of the State address. And so if there are any health topics that happen to come up or there, anything that we're interested in, you know, we'll go ahead and take a look at that. But anything else coming up for February there, Ashley?
You know, I do think we're going to be talking to some folks from Carmanis and McLaren about screening, and, you know, how important screening is for different cancers and the work that they're doing to increase screening rates, you know, throughout Southeast Michigan.
Well, that'll be a great moment. I'm looking forward to that. So
me too.
Well, that wraps it up. Again, we appreciate you taking the time, and yeah, we will see you in February.